The Bible. The Bible. The Bible. It's the Word of God, living and active.
Sharper than any two-edged sword.
It contains all we need for life and godliness, and it reveals to us the mysteries of God. Join us for the next hour as we study the Bible and take your Bible questions. This is Exploring the Word on AFR Talk.
It is Friday, and I know some of you are headed home, and I just see that smile on your face, even through the radio, and we hope you have a great, great weekend. This is Bert Harper, along with Dr. Alex McFarland, and today we have another guy with us, and that's Wesley Wildman. Most of the time, Wesley's only with us when one of us can't make it, but today we just thought we'd try a trio, and Alex, we're going to see how that works, brother.
Well, and we're going to take calls. We're going to give the number right here at the top of the hour. It's toll-free, nationwide. Listen to this, 888-589-8840. And wherever you are, we'll take your Bible questions.
And we'll do our best answers. Two things we want to do, or three. One is welcome Wesley. Wesley, hey, glad you're here on Fireway Friday.
I'm excited about Fireway Friday. Most of the time when I'm feeling it's throughout the week, so it's exciting to be able to come in on a Friday and help answer some of the questions.
Okay, the other thing we wanted to do is pray for the people over in France, and especially the families of those who were just mowed down by that truck. Our hearts break. I wanted to get a feeling of it, so I just took a visual of what all took place, and I don't necessarily advise it or not advise it, but I needed to so I'd get my heart right. We want to pray for them, especially for the father and son from Texas. And we're going to do that, Alex, and then I want you to answer a question that we left a little bit, well, completely unanswered. We had one man that asked four questions, and we answered three of them and saved the fourth one, and that's about the Apocrypha. But let's pray first, and then you do that, and then we'll be ready to go to those phone lines. Does that sound all right, guys?
Sounds good to me.
Okay.
Very good.
Let's pray. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we come to you thanking you that even the prayers here in Tupelo, Mississippi and North Carolina can reach to the people that are in France. Mm-hmm. And Father, that you can make yourself known to those people who are hurting in such a desperate way. And Father, I pray again, we want this program to be a program that we come and we petition you to interact in their behalf. And Father, I thank you that you are. And I pray that I just be very frank, Father, I pray for some leaders to step up to the plate to see what is happening with the Islam religion and those fanatics that have taken that and, Father, just hurting people all over the world. I pray that there would be their eyes open. Satan has blinded the minds. Satan doesn't matter with him what tool he uses to try to unseat God in his place in the universe, his place in our lives, and Father, on the throne of governments. So we pray, Father, for an awakening, a spiritual awakening, but also awakening of morality of what needs to be done. And we pray that you would intervene, make yourself known to them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Alex, we did have a guy from Louisiana call in, want to know about the Apocrypha, and we wanted to get another person's question in, so we save that for today. So, brother, are you ready to answer that question about what it is, and do we get benefit from it?
Well, yeah, thanks very much. Do you know, it's a very interesting story about the apocryphal books that are related to the Old and New Testaments. And I want to say that there are some Old Testament apocryphal books and there are some books from the New Testament era, none of which were ever called Scripture by the Lord and the early apostles. And really, a lot of the inserting them in the Bibles, as has been done in some English translations, came about in the aftermath of the Reformation. And there were some doctrines in the Reformation that some people wanted to fight, and so they found usefulness in some of the apocryphal books, and they were put in there. But let me just say this, the 66 canonical books of your Bible, Genesis through Malachi and Matthew through Revelation, are, I'll tell you why we believe that they really are the books, the 39 Old, 27 New. Every book of the Old Testament is quoted in the New Testament except Song of Solomon. That doesn't cast any doubt on Song of Solomon, but it just, every Old Testament book except Song of Solomon is quoted in the New. Every New Testament book quotes the Old Testament except the book of Philemon. The book of Philemon in the New Testament doesn't quote the Old Testament. And think about this. Roughly 10%, in fact, it's a little more than 10% of Christ's words, 10% plus of everything Jesus ever said are direct verbatim quotes of the Old Testament. And we could spend a long time on this, but the main thing that I would say is the apocryphal books were never quoted by Jesus as scripture. Other prophets, like the Old Testament prophets and the New Testament apostles, never quote them as scripture. The early apostles, Peter, James, John, and then the post-apostolic leaders like Chrysostom and Justin Martyr, never quote the Apocrypha as being scripture. In fact, they actually warn against it, and it was never even considered scripture until the time after the Reformation, which was in the 1500s. So for that reason, I would say read the Bible we got, trust that it's from God, and any extracurricular readings are for maybe study perhaps, but not for faith and practice.
Amen. Thank you for that, Alex. We appreciate that. You got anything to say about that, Wes? Are we all right?
Well, I've also looked at the Apocrypha before, too. And, you know, there's also some major theological doctrinal errors, too, that you can get from the Apocrypha, such as atonement. And also you look at they pray for the saints or the...
The dead?
The dead. That's what I was thinking about, praying for the dead. And so those are the other cautions that are contrary to what we believe, you know, the 66 books teach. So, but you can also get a lot of history from them, you know, and there's other benefits from them, but not, like Alex said, not for faith.
Benefit, but not real for a scripture from God. Yeah. Okay, let's go to Arkansas, and we're ready for our phone lines, 888-589-8840. We got line or two open besides these that are taken right now. But welcome, Jim. Jim, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hello.
Yes.
Yeah. This is real important to me. I'd like to know what the scriptures say about suicide, and I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Okay, Jim, thank you for calling, and it is serious, no matter who it is or what it is. Mm. Alex, I've been one of those people, pastors, that got the calls at night. Someone talking about suicide, not just for themselves, but for others. I think the Bible makes it clear that no matter where you are in your life, dependence upon God right now in His unfailing love for you right now is real, isn't it?
You know, it really is. And, sir, thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. And just based on the sincerity of your voice, I can tell this must be an issue you're thinking through, and our prayers are with you. Let me say this. The Bible, Bert, as far as I can remember, there are six people in the Bible that are referenced as committing suicide, one of whom was Judas, one of whom was King Saul, and six of the people that commit suicide in the Bible, all six, it's always in a negative connotation. So on the one hand, we want to unequivocally, emphatically say that suicide is wrong. It is never, the taking of one's life is wrong, because when the Ten Commandments say thou shalt not murder, that includes self-murder. We don't have the right to take our own lives because our life belongs to God. God is the giver of life, and it's His prerogative when to call that in. We can't do that. Now, at the same time, and we always have to be careful how we say this, because in no way would we ever say suicide is legitimized. It's not. Suicide is never right. However, Bert and Wesley, I believe theologically that suicide is not the unforgivable sin. I know there's kind of the assumption that if someone commits suicide, that they automatically went to hell. I'm not so sure about that. I think, and I know a couple of cases where people that we know that were born again, I mean, they were born again, they were believers in Jesus, they had exhibited the fruits of the Spirit. From everything we know, they were Christians. And one person that we know of was on antidepressants and was in a very dark spiral, in a very dark place, and tragically took their own life. So the question, if a born-again Christian were to commit suicide, would they still go to heaven? Look, if a person is a born-again Christian, yes, they go to heaven regardless of how they die. But in no way are we saying suicide is okay. It's not. But I don't think it would cause you to lose your salvation.
Okay. Jim, one thing I got in Alex's answer, I am in 100% concur. But here's the key when you're talking to about yourself or someone else. Don't isolate yourself from everyone. Satan has a way, and you see this throughout the scripture, when isolation occurs, many times death comes to thoughts. Even Elijah, he said, let me die, because he had isolated himself running, and God is making himself known to him. The demoniac that dwelt in the tombs, isolation. So find your way. If you can't do it on the phone line, there's hotlines that you can find help. Find help. Do not let the tool of isolation in this depressed state, don't let that take you. Don't let that person that you know that may be dealing with it get there. Make yourself known and stay with them if you have to. We want to pray for that. We've got people that listen to us that are struggling, and I've asked Wesley just to pray. Pray that Jim would get the answers. Hopefully the answers we got helped him, if it's himself or with someone else.
Father God, I thank you for Jim, Father, and his sincere question, Father. As many of our listeners have questions that may be similar or other questions, Father, we pray that this program will help provide answers toward these questions, Father, using your word, Father. And as Alex and Brother Bert walked through scriptures and examples, Father, we pray that that would just marinate and the heart of Jim, Father. And I pray that if it's him who is dealing with such issue, Father, I just pray that your grace and your mercy, Father, and your presence, Father, and your Christians and your saints, Father, would surround him, Lord, that he would his life would be preserved. And I, Father, pray that if it was someone else, Father, I pray that you just give him the encouragement, the wisdom, the endurance that he needs, Father, to convey, Lord, your word to whoever it is that he's talking about. And we thank you for your word, Father. We're so grateful that you hear our prayers, as you heard Brother Bert's prayers earlier for France, Father. We're so grateful that we can come to you in prayer and lift up our petitions. We ask all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
We're going to wait to go to the next call at the break, but I thought of one thing that we really helped me while Wesley was praying. I remember reading in Decision Magazine, which is the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association magazine, an article about a man that was in a motel room. He was about to commit suicide. Again, isolated. You see that, Alex? Isolated.
Yeah.
And he turned on the TV just to make some noise, and it happened to be, just happened to be, that the Billy Graham Crusade was on. And I get emotional. I'll tell it, just read it. I didn't ever meet the guy, but the Billy Graham, just at the right time, said, if you're in a motel room, if you're at a bar, and you don't know what to do, would you just cry out the name of Jesus and let Jesus come into your life and let him change your life? At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that he is Lord. At the name of Jesus. And I, there's something powerful about that name, no matter Amen. What, no matter where. Jim, everybody in America right now that's listening is praying, brother. Thank you for Amen. Listening to Exploring the Word, and we'll be back right after the break with more of Exploring the Word here on the American Family Radio.
More than a million believers have signed the pledge to boycott Target, and we urge you to join them. The American Family Association opposes the policy of Target allowing transgenders into the bathroom of their choice. Here's AFA President Tim Wildman.
There's a reason why we've had male and female separation in restrooms and fitting rooms for all of mankind's history.
A policy which allows men into women's restrooms and fitting rooms is not right, nor is it safe.
I think the human resources departments these major corporations are the tail wagging the dog, because I just can't see corporate executives at Target or anywhere else sitting around a table going, you know, guys, I think we need to open up our women's restrooms for men.
Visit AFA.net to learn more and sign the pledge to boycott Target. Don't spend your money at Target until they stop putting our family members at risk with this dangerous, politically correct policy. That's AFA.net.
This is Holy Land Moments, presented by the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews. Today, Yael Eckstein answers the question, do the people living in Israel feel closer to God?
As an American-born citizen of Israel, I'm occasionally asked if people living in Israel feel closer to God than people living elsewhere on earth. This is a wonderful question, and what I believe is that you can be close to God wherever you are. As we've learned in the words of the prophets, if you search for God, you will find him. And I believe that that's true wherever you are. But when you live in Israel, the land of the Bible, and walk in the footsteps of our forefathers of our faith, and pray at the Western Wall, the last remaining wall of the original temple destroyed 2,000 years ago, there's a certain connection to God that I don't feel anywhere else in the world. Perhaps this is why Jews from around the globe are making aliyah, immigrating to Israel, in record numbers, even as the threat of Islamic terrorism grows in our region. For a Jew or a Christian, there is nothing like walking where the great men of the Bible lived and walked thousands of years ago, where you see the Bible come alive. Those who come to Israel as residents or visitors have a desire to learn more about the incredible history of this great land that both Jews and Christians call holy. For some, that makes all of the difference in their faith forever.
You've been listening to Holy Land Moments, presented by the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews. If you'd like to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, you can record your prayer by calling 888-241-IFCJ. That's 888-241-IFCJ. This has been Holy Land Moments, presented by the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews.
Hey, it's Crane, and coming up at 5 Central this afternoon is Nothing But Truth, the latest news on the massacre in France, and an update on Newt Gingrich's statements on America's fight against Islamism. Plus, AFN's anchor reporter Chris Woodward beats the press's coverage of the week's top stories. So join us this afternoon at 5 Central for Nothing But Truth on AFR Talk.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word on AFR Talk.
AFR Talk.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. Alex, Bert, Wesley with you today, and we're taking your questions, your comments, and so we pray that it'll be a blessing today on this Good Friday that we have. Let's go to the phone lines, and we're going to go to Alabama, and we're going to talk to Tim. Tim, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hello.
Yes, you're on the air, Tim. Go ahead, brother.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. It's probably the only second time I've ever called. I wanted to weigh in on the, I don't know who was talking about suicide, but he made a point that kind of struck me a little wrong. And I'm a veteran of 12 years in the military. I dealt with suicide with my soldiers. I dealt with depression and thoughts of suicide myself. And I just wanted to say that the gentleman was lightly talking about suicide as it kind of made it feel like on my side that he was saying it was okay. There are people out there that are walking that fine line. They're looking for a reason. They know they don't want to in their hearts, so they don't want to leave their loved ones and their family out there, and they don't want to disrespect themselves and their Lord to take their own life. But when you tell them that God says it's okay because you've been a born-again Christian and he'll forgive you when you get to heaven, that doesn't sit right with me.
No, and let me say, and thank you for calling. That's not what I'm saying at all. And this is Alex, by the way. And by the way, God, if you're a born-again Christian, God doesn't, quote, forgive you when you get to heaven. Positionally, you are in Christ. And Let me say that you're forgiven of your sins the moment you trust Jesus. The righteousness of Christ is imparted to you, and so a Christian, a born-again Christian, is in Christ for the rest of their life, and praise God for that. So there's the issue of sonship, and there's the issue of fellowship. Our sonship, our eternal destiny, is settled the moment we trust Christ. The reason I said that, in like I said, in no way am I saying that suicide is legitimate. It's not. It's wrong. It's a sin against God. But I've had many families who've come to me, and they've said, in fact, we counseled a family where a man was a pastor for 40 years. He was a great Christian. Everybody knew he was born again. And his wife died. He got cancer. He was on all these meds. He was in constant pain, and he took his life. That's wrong. That's sad. And, you know, one of the things that people like Johnny Erickson Tata have written about is a theology of suffering, how God can be glorified even in the midst of suffering. But this family came to me just broken. Is our beloved grandfather in hell now for all of eternity? Only God knows. I mean, Jeremiah 17, verse 9, the heart is wicked. Only God knows the heart. But at the same time, and Bert, you feel free to weigh in on this if you want to, theologically, if you're in Christ, remember John 10, 28 says, nothing can pluck us out of his hand. And sometimes when you talk about the surety and the security that we have in Jesus, it might sound like we're trying to legitimize sin. We're not at all. But I don't think that in the quest to make sure that sin is bad, and it is, that we should minimize the fact that we really, really, really are secure in Christ. Nobody should ever, ever commit suicide because, you know, God's mercies are great. We don't want to presume on them. But when you're in Christ, Bert, I mean, biblically, you're in Christ, aren't you?
The only sin that sends someone to hell is the sin of unbelief. And so, Tim, I hope you heard Alex that time. We're no way in condoning it. But, you know, we pray. And when you're dealing with people who are suicidal, man, you stay in there with them and don't let them be isolated and give them the hope that they have in life, not in death at that point in time. And that is the way you should do it. Okay, thank you, Tim. Let's go to Rob in Illinois. Rob, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Yes, sir.
I just have a few questions. I've been in and out of church since I was a kid, and was in the military for 10 years, gone. I was baptized back right out of high school. I got away from it, and I really started trying to get back into it, and I want to understand the Bible more. Is it better understanding to read cover to cover, or is it better to go from certain scriptures and then go to a different book in the Bible and read scriptures from that? I mean, how do you really understand what it's saying to you?
Okay, thank you, Rob. What a great question. I'm just going to answer one thing because we've got three people here and we could take up too much time. Let me get you to make sure on the version that you get a version that you can understand. Make sure, again, in an accurate version, and that will help as well. I'm going to let Wesley take this one first, Alex, and then you can come.
What was our caller's name?
It's Rob.
Rob, great question. I'm 27, and I gave my life to Christ when I was 5 or 6, and then when I was 21, I really submitted my life and understood the importance of studying God's Word, kind of like what you're talking about. And I just want to say, I want to provide a warning. My warning for you, that may be a strong word, is that just be careful that as you begin to study and begin to read, not to come at Scripture with a theological presupposition, and just to read it as it is and let the Word of God speak for itself, and to pray along the way and ask Him to show you what His Word is trying to say. And there's one tool I will give you, it's called Clarifying the Bible. Clarifying the Bible by Mitch Mayer. It's just a really simple overview of each book of the Bible, and it kind of walks you through the storyline from Genesis to Revelation, and it was very helpful in my life. But just read it as is. There's a time for studying, there's a time to read, and I would suggest do more reading.
Go ahead, Alex.
Well, God bless you for wanting to get in the Bible and get in the church. You know, we say this a lot, and Friday's a good day to mention this. If you read 3 chapters a day, 5 on Sunday, think about this, 3 chapters a day, 5 on Sunday, you will read through the entire Word of God in a year. And Angie and I have done this many times, many years of our marriage. We've individually and together read through the Bible in a year. I love the Gospel of John in the New Testament, 21 chapters. You could easily read through that if you read a chapter a day in 3 weeks. Proverbs, 31 chapters in Proverbs, read a chapter a day. Take you 10 minutes, and you'll read through the book of God's wisdom, Proverbs, in a month. And so there's a lot of ways to do it. Bert, I love to read through Isaiah. Read 3 chapters a day, and in about a month, you'll read the whole book of the prophet Isaiah. And I would encourage everybody at least once a year, read through the book of Proverbs. At least once a year, read through the book of Romans. And you'll put down some pretty deep roots in the faith, won't you?
You will. So Rob, let me just give you mine. I'm trying to be very short on my answers today. He said, and if I was getting back into it, I would start in the book of John. I really would, because
right.
John is such an enlightening book. He concentrates on the words of Jesus, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. They combine the words and actions of Jesus, but John especially, the words. And he will drive who Jesus is home to you. And after you got that nailed down, who Jesus is, men, you start reading in the book of Genesis and go all the way through, and you'll find Jesus on every page. And that's exactly what you want to do. As you start reading, looking for something about Jesus, about his characteristic, about a promise. And so, brother, welcome back. Thank you for listening to Exploring the Word, and we hope that we will be a help to you in your growth in Christ. So thank you so much. Let's go to Texas and talk to Melvin. Melvin, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Good afternoon. Thanks a lot.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I have a situation that involves Luke 18 about the unjust judge. I was falsely arrested, and I kept delaying my court date, and my lawyer was no good. And so I pled out, and so I get on with my life, but I seem like I still can't get on with my life. And the whole system, criminal justice system, where I'm at is corrupt, in my opinion. And I don't know what I'm supposed to do concerning the unjust judge. Do I confront the man? Do I just stay away? You know?
Okay. Melvin, thank you for listening. Thank you for calling in. Alex, when you're talking about the criminal justice system, you can get, he was talking about Luke 18, an unjust judge. That is possible. You need to make it a matter of prayer, Melvin. I really do. And Alex, in his admonition to the caller right before you and talking about reading through the scriptures, let me suggest two things. One, read through the book of Proverbs. Just saturate yourself in the book of Proverbs for wisdom. It's amazing what guidance God can do. And when you're hurting and maybe it comes home at night a lot, turn to Psalms and read Psalms, because right now you need the wisdom, but you also need that benefit from God. Alex, would you have anything else to say to Melvin?
Know this, brother, and you're going through a valley, and it's hard to be falsely accused of something and to feel like you did not get due process of law. That's hard. It really is. Let me urge you to please not take things in your own hands. Psalm 135, verse 14. Psalm 135, 14 says, "The Lord will vindicate his people. The Lord will have compassion on his servants." And there's a lot the Word of God has to say about how God ultimately, and this might not happen, you know, tomorrow, but over the long pull, God will take up the cause of those falsely accused. And we just want to say, honestly, the Lord has your back. I mean, he really does. And of course, you know, use everything that legally and lawfully you can do. Be in a good church, have people pray for you. Live a life that shows the watching world that you're a man of truth and righteousness. But the main thing, Bert is right, pray. And God will undertake to clear your name in his time. And as hard as it is, over this journey, you'll grow.
And we are. Seem like we're praying a lot today, but I feel like it, and I feel like we need to pray for Melvin. Wesley?
Let's do it.
Would you do that, brother?
Father God, thank you for Melvin. Father, I pray that you would just give him a spirit of submission, Father, and not a spirit of rebellion, Father. I pray that, Father, I pray that he would follow through the process, Father, and every legal aspect, Father, that he could do, Father, to get himself and his name cleared, Father. We pray against, Father, against the injustice, Father, and we pray that you would bind the hands of that in the name of Jesus. And, Father, we pray that you would just, in due time, Father, that you would release Melvin, Father, from his wrongly accused. Father, I pray that during the process, Father, as he suffers, Father, I pray that you would just sustain him, Father, and give him the clarity and the wisdom, Father. And we know that sometimes there is a point in which we have to obey God rather than man, Father, but I pray that there will not be that Melvin would not take it into his own hands, Father, but trust and pray for your guidance through the process. In the name of Jesus, amen.
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 Melvin, I just want to give you some hope. I know some guys that's been accused, and God came through and vindicated them, and it's real, and he can do that, and that's what we're praying for. Okay, let's go to Oklahoma and talk to Walter. Walter, welcome to Exploring the Word.
All right, thank you for taking my call. I was listening about the Apocrypha and about the books that were acceptable was listed in the New Testament and the Old Testament. But I've heard something about the book of Enoch. And somewhere, I believe I read somewhere that Jesus quoted it.
Okay, yeah.
And how would that... How would someone get a hold of that book? And is that true about the book of Enoch?
Alex, we've had this before, haven't we?
Yeah. Well, there was this thing called the book of Enoch, which was a Jewish writing. And it, I think, wasn't it supposedly the great grandfather of Noah that wrote that? Enoch was the grandfather of Noah, and supposedly he wrote that. The part where I don't remember Jesus quoting that, and now if he did, you know, correct me on that. But there were a lot of ancient Jewish writings that were, you know, we view them kind of like as a historical curiosity right now, but they were floating around back that time because you remember the Bible wasn't printed yet, it wasn't finished yet. And so you've got things like the Gospel of Peter and, you know, the Apocryphon of John and things like that. And sometimes, let me just say this, you know, Paul in Acts 17 quoted a Greek poet, not that he was endorsing, you know, everything that he might have written, but that it was... you know, he made a reference that the people of that time would have understood, just like Bert and I, you know, we might quote, you know, somebody just because we quote them doesn't mean that we're endorsing them. But I want to say this, the Old Testament apocryphal books, you know, from Esdras and Maccabees and, you know, Bel and the Dragon, which is, that sounds like a fairy tale, doesn't it? And the New Testament apocryphal books like the Gospel of Peter and things like that. Sometimes all of these are referred to by scholars as something called pseudepigrapha. And pseudo, or a pseudonym, you know, an author that uses a pseudonym, that's like a false name. The word pseudepigrapha means false writings. So understand that some of it might be interesting from a historical standpoint, might be a, you know, actually, some of it might sound a little bit inspiring, but the whole lot of it is not Scripture. And so we just urge people to stick to what is.
Amen. Thank you, Walter, for listening. Thank you for calling. And we hope that gives you some knowledge about that, and it will help you. And again, the 66 books, I'm doing my best to know what they say. And I'm still getting a lot of wisdom from them, and I would suggest that those who are listening do that as well. We got a break.
Do you wonder if things could get worse in our nation? You might be surprised to know that this is not the first time that we faced drastic times. After our War of Independence, our nation struggled with very great concerns. In the 1790s, there were years of doubt and despair. We teetered on the edge of bankruptcy, plagues were killing our citizens, political rancor was rampant, we experienced the nastiest presidential election in American history. In addition, an anti-Christian enlightenment swept through our schools and government. There were riots in our cities. Pastors called it the worst of times. What happened during these dark days? Well, pastors began a prayer movement that's worked. Suddenly, a spiritual explosion swept our nation. We call it America's Pentecost, and it changed the course of history. The impact on our nation was astounding. God can do it again. Are you willing to ask Him? Let's pray for another great awakening in our day. I'm Bob Bakke, pastor of Hillside Church in Bloomington, Minnesota, for OneCry.com.
Consider serving the Lord with friendships. It's an opportunity to reach out to the needy around the world. They're now taking applications to volunteer, and they need help in the areas of mechanics, maritime, including deck, engine, and steward departments, food service, warehousing, and office. Check it out at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022.
For the Congress to continue to give them money, Congress would be complicit in this criminal activity, and it's time to stop it. I think it's a very clear illustration of what our culture demands right now, and that is the leadership of the church rolling up its sleeves, getting into our communities.
Advancing faith, family, and freedom in public policy and culture from a Christian worldview. Washington Watch Daily with Tony Perkins, weekdays at 4 p.m. Central on AFR Talk.
What's at stake at this election? A lot. From the freedom to publicly practice and proclaim your faith, to the nomination of Supreme Court justices, matters of critical importance to Christians are looming in the days ahead. Family Research Council and FRC Action stand at the forefront of this battle. In these turbulent times, we trust in God's Word that He is for us and that He will give us a future and a hope of prosperity. That's why we invite you to join us on September 9th through 11th in Washington, D.C. for the Values Voter Summit. Come to learn, be encouraged, and meet others who will stand for the renewal of this great nation. You'll hear the latest on the threats to our nation's security, your religious freedom, the privacy and safety of our children and grandchildren, and much more. Visit valuesvotersummit.org for more information and to register. That's valuesvotersummit.org.
Exploring the Word on AFR Talk.
Connect with Alex and Bert on the Exploring the Word Facebook page. Facebook.com/Exploring the Word.
Your words give us life that's never ending. Your words bring us life
Man, I wish I could sing like that. I would sing that song quite often.
I wish I could play the guitar like that. I know Alex plays the guitar.
Amen.
That's a great song.
It is. Okay, let's go to the phone lines. We're going to get to as many calls as we can in this last segment. We're going to Mississippi and talk to Peggy. Peggy, welcome.
Thank you very much, and I appreciate you having the program. Are you getting an echo from my phone?
No, you're good right now. You're good, Peggy.
Okay, I got it on loudspeaker because I can hold it and quote the scriptures along with the comments, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
It's nice to talk to you. Y'all are very, very good, host. I listened to the other program, too, the one where you ask questions, and I enjoy, I don't know if y'all the same ones, but the ones in the morning time when they have the questions and answers, and I'll try to get to you, but too many people are online, so I don't ever get to answer the questions. But yes, I would like to make a couple of comments. The one about unforgivable sin, where Jesus said it's in Matthew chapter 12, verse 31, when the Pharisees come against the Lord, and they said he cast the devil out through Beelzebub and accused him of having, that. And he said, 31, Psalm 12, and he was referring it to them. It's another scripture that in about this, too, where they accused the Lord of casting out devils through Beelzebub. Anyway, so the 31st verse of Matthew 12 says, "Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men." And that is the spirit of God, you know. And people, you know, that come against the Lord's spirit or against the spirit of the Holy Ghost, they are committing blasphemy, and that's sin. Jesus said that's unforgiven. You know,
okay,
sin.
We're going to stop there, Peggy, just for a minute. We're not cutting you off, but hold it. We'll do one at a time. Alex, we've talked about the blaspheming of the Holy Spirit and that not being forgiven. You remember, and we've talked about it has to do with the Spirit, okay?
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit coming in, either rejecting him, you know, the sin of unbelief, which is rejection of the Holy Spirit, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I really think the unforgivable sin to attribute to Satan the works of God and to reject Jesus really. And I'm glad you read the Matthew 12, 31, and 32 passage, because that's a key passage. That could really only have been committed by those people there, that they were with Jesus. And in Mark chapter 3, verse 29, Jesus says, whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. All right, you've got the religious leaders there, the Jewish leaders that were intimately familiar with the Scripture. They knew about the Messiah. Here is Jesus right in front of them, proclaiming the truth of God's word, doing the miracles, and they attributed the work of Christ to Satan. And here's the thing. For them to stubbornly maintain that posture of unbelief right there in the front of Christ himself, that was the greatest rejection of God's revelation that could possibly be. And that sin was absolutely unforgivable, inexcusable. That was the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. But I believe, and Wesley and Bert, you can chime in if you want to, the only sin right now in this era, post-crucifixion, resurrection, the only thing that would ultimately place you beyond the realm of God's forgiveness is to die in the act of unbelief, to leave this world apart from Christ. So what we're saying is, as long as you're in the land of the living, if you can turn to Christ in faith, you can be saved still.
Okay. Peggy, I know you had something else that you were sharing. Would you do that, please?
Yeah. But my point was to say, because they said he had a devil, he quoted that scripture to them, because it's a scripture that says that in another part of the Bible. But anyway, y'all can look that up if you don't mind. Okay, the other one was about the suicide thing, you know, the first question about that or whatever that somebody had. Job, chapter 1, verse 21, where, you know, Job had went through everything, so I don't think anybody in the Bible was depressed as Job was, as long as he was. I know Elijah was depressed in the cave for a while. But anyway, he says, you know, I came naked from my mother's womb and naked when I leave. The Lord gave me what I had, and the Lord's taken away. Well, the Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. The King James Bible is what I go by. But anyway, he said, the Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's the one I wanted to read. So that's why, you know, we believe, that the Lord gives, and the Lord taketh away.
Amen.
Life. He's the one that gives, and he's the one that taketh away life.
Amen,
but,
Peggy.
Anyway, I wanted to, share my comments with you.
Well, thank you so much, Peggy, and we appreciate you listening. Wesley, when you hear that, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away, I agree with Peggy. That's life.
Yeah,
as well.
Absolutely. And there's a place in Proverbs I'm looking for right now. Maybe I'll get it by the end of the program that implies that God's given each person a certain amount of time. And so we don't want to cut that short by our own human efforts. And we're grateful that God does give and God takes away, and we can trust in that. We can find hope in that. Another verse that came to mind when she was talking was Ephesians 2:8, and that is, therefore we have been saved by grace through faith, and it is not of ourselves, but a gift from God.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Peggy, for calling today, and thank you for listening to here, American Family Radio. Let's go to Texas, and we're going to talk to Gerald. Gerald, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Yes. Good afternoon.
Yes, sir.
I was wanting to make a comment about the not being able to be lost no matter what you do type issue that you're talking about. You know, the devil, when he was Lucifer in heaven, he walked away from God, even though he was bathed in God's love and glory. And Christ said, if you put your hand to the plow and look back, you're not worthy of the kingdom of heaven. And Paul himself said that I keep my body under subjection, lest I myself be a castaway. We may not be able to be plucked out of God's hands, but he will allow us to walk away from him.
Okay, Gerald, there are people that believe that, and it is some godly people that we know. But the scripture, again, Alex, 1 John, chapter 2 talks about it. Those who started with him will no doubt continued with him. And the reason they walked away and went away was because they was never with him in the first place. But what you said, Alex, in the first point, really, most people, they would have looked at Judas Iscariot before the betrayal. And everybody, all those men that was around him, there's no doubt that they'd say, yes, Judas died and went to heaven. Because look all the works and sermons he preached. Look at the healing that he did. You catch what I'm saying? God is the one who knows, and it's in God's hands. And the Bible makes it plain in 1 John that we can know that we've passed from life unto death. But there are some people losing their salvation. I think the Bible's plain on it. Go ahead. I know you want to say something, and Wesley does as well. Go ahead.
I don't believe Judas was saved because in John 17, Jesus said of his disciples, he says, none has been lost except the son of perdition. So, I think if you read John 17:12, Jesus alluded to the fact that Judas was not a believer. But, think about this, and I'll throw this out there. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it's talking about gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, and stubble. So in verse 10 and 11, it talks about no other foundation can anyone lay than that foundation, which is Jesus Christ. But it says, if anyone builds on this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, or stubble, each one's work will be manifest. So the foundation is salvation. Now, everything we do post salvation, we're going to get rewarded or suffer loss of rewards. Let me throw this out there. What if you've been a faithful Christian and you've earned some crowns, wood, hay, stubble, but then you fall away from the Lord? You're still saved. But I do think there's some people that are going to, at the Bema seat, they're going to have some smoky hands and no gold, silver, precious stones to lay in honor at the Lord's feet, but wood, hay, and stubble. And I think there's, at least in the sake of the watching world, there's years of gold, silver, precious stones that can get turned into wood, hay, stubble when Christians fall. Would you agree?
I'd agree with that. Wesley?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I personally don't believe you can lose your salvation based off of many Bible verses, but I'll just read one. For it is by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not of yourself, but a gift from God. So I don't think you can lose something that God gave you. Now, I will say that I'll kind of defend maybe those people that, I have brothers and sisters in Christ that do believe you can lose your salvation. But I want to preface this, that they don't think you can lose it like a set of keys.
Right.
They don't think
it's more like apostatize.
They would say you could apostate. So I can understand that, though I don't believe it. But the ones I know, my friends, don't believe that you can just like, oops, it's gone one. I love you, I love you not. They don't believe that. They do believe that it's an intentional effort to reject God. But, then again, you have your Bible verses that say if they were with us, then they will stay with us.
Stayed with us. Okay. So. Gerald, thank you for listening. Thank you for calling, brother. And praise the Lord. Listen, when we get to heaven, I don't think we're going to say, man, that's a close call. I made it.
Yeah.
I think we're going to bow before Jesus and say, Jesus, thank you for bringing us through.
Yeah, and it's really important to remember the several passages in Proverbs that says, every way in a man's eyes is right, but only God knows and weighs the heart. So
again, thank you, Gerald, and brother in Christ. We appreciate that. Let's go to Oklahoma and talk to Lou. Lou, welcome.
How you doing, guys?
Doing well.
I haven't called you guys in a couple of years, but my brothers, it's good to hear from you. I used to always call you. St. Lou from Norman is me, and I called because I heard about all this talk of suicide.
Yeah.
And I want to say that May of 2008, I decided for suicide. And as I was going to get my gun, the Lord, I didn't know who it was, something kind of pulled on me a little and reminded me of some things I had heard, because I come up in a pagan family. I grew up in Chicago, and none of this is real to anybody. People go to church and stuff, but they just don't buy into the whole thing because various reasons. But what happens with this suicide, and I served in the Marine Corps also, is there is a way to surrender to Christ. And there is a way that man looks for a way out, which is every other way except for that surrender to Christ. Now, he stepped in and stopped me from taking my life so that I could call you today and bear witness to the fact that King Jesus is a mighty God.
Amen.
And he is here to save. And if anybody Amen. Has trouble believing that, I would draw your eyes to the cross where he willingly gave himself and surrendered his life so that we could come into relationship with Father God and his Son in whom he sent. And your life and nobody's life down here is ever worth living because he made us to be in intimacy with him, and we cannot attain that any other way.
Amen.
Although we are Amen. Under deception and we'll be lost trying to find drugs, alcohol, you name it, I did it. And when you come to Christ, and we're talking about this suicide thing, there is a way to surrender. I'm not saying to go through it and just kill yourself, because you're going to find yourself in hell or wherever you're going. It's not going to be a godly thing. He did at the cross when he got up there and surrendered everything was a big sign that said, here's how you find me. I'll go first. I'm doing it right here. Up against this cross, my arms wide open, I'm fully surrendered to you sinners, right in your sin. Here's the sign. This is the way. I am the way. This is how you come to me. And many people are deceived thinking that they can find the Lord simply by calling out. I know people that I love greatly, the Lord loves them, that they call out with tears. But when it comes down to a full surrender of Amen. Even their favorite Amen. Sin or anything, then it's harder to surrender those things.
Amen, yeah. Lou. Hey, brother, thank you for calling. Don't wait so long, man. I'm telling you. Wesley, Lou had a word for us, didn't he?
Yes, he did. I was wondering if we were going to have enough time because I didn't want to have to cut him off.
I didn't either. Alex, you know, at the name of Jesus, there's power. That yeah. can stop Satan from the temptation, but then the surrender must take place. And that's exactly yeah. what Lou was saying. And I've read it, and I have talked to people where they didn't know what to do. They just called out to God and Jesus, say, help me. And then as more knowledge and more light came in, they came to the realization that Christ had died on the cross for them, and they were ready to surrender their life to them. It is that, isn't it? And if there's someone out there contemplating ending it all, call upon the name of Jesus, surrender to him. That's what I'd want, Alex.
John 10, verse 10, Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and life abundantly. Luke chapter 20 says he's not the God of the dead, but of the living. Listen, God is pro-life. And to everyone listening, we would say God is for your life. Christianity is not the subtraction of all your problems, but it is the addition of Christ's help and presence through all the problems. And you know what? I've heard so many people testify how things look so bad, but God came through for them. And ultimately, God has a way if we'll wait on Him and trust Him.
Amen. You can trust Him. Hey, if you're listening and you need more help, there's a number you can call, 888-NEED-HIM, 888-NEED-HIM, and there's some people there that will help you. Wesley, it's been good to have you on today, brother.
It's been great, and if God's started to work in your life, He'll see it through to completion.
That's what Philippians 1:6 says,
That's
isn't
right.
it?
That's exactly right.
Alex, it's been good to be with you this week, brother.
God bless you guys. We hope to see you Monday.
We'll be back, and we'll get back into the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 21, if you know that. So we'd welcome you to join us, tell someone about exploring the Word, but more importantly, tell someone about the Lord Jesus Christ.
The The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.